While there have been many changes to our traditional routines in the last few weeks due to the spread of the novel coronavirus, some things have not changed. After having put tons of effort into their applications, high school seniors across the country and here in the Roaring Fork Valley are still receiving responses from colleges and universities. Kylie Orff, a high school senior who was recently accepted into Colorado College, sat down with me a few weeks ago to share one of her beautifully written and courageously delivered college essays. In her radio debut, Kylie will share her essay written about her congenital upper limb reduction and the path she took towards fully embracing her physical difference. After asking Kylie to share her essay on KDNK, she boldly agreed not just to read it, but also to answer some questions afterward. Stay tuned after the essay to hear even more about Kylie's journey.
Okay, my name is Kylie Orff. I'm a senior at Roaring Fork High School, and here's my essay. Each year, about 4 in every 10,000 babies are born with congenital upper limb reduction. I am one of them. For me, this means that I'm missing a portion of my right arm below the elbow. I was born like that is a simple phrase that I mastered at a very young age. Growing up, I used to say these words with a rushed tone as I forced them from my mouth. When it came time to repeat this phrase, I used to feel a sense of complete embarrassment as someone had once again questioned the appearance of my body. I would look down as I felt my face become hot and rosy, and the feeling would then flood throughout my body. I would dread these questions, which came in various forms. To this day, people still don't know how to ask what happens because differences make them so uncomfortable that they lose their common sense for a brief moment. Therefore, I'm no longer surprised when a stranger's eyes widen in the direction of my arm, their mouth parts slightly, and they grip their own arm at the point where mine ends, and pause before asking, "What happened?" They look awfully concerned for me in these moments, sometimes even so much so that I feel the need to tell them, "It's okay," and give them a warm smile of reassurance before explaining the simple, "I was born like that." Some people feel the need to tell me about other situations that they think relate to my own, but in reality, knowing maybe their cousin has a missing finger or an extra nipple really has no effect on me. For a long time, I dreaded people noticing my difference. I never wanted to talk about it or answer questions. I did everything in my power to hide my arm, but as you can imagine, hiding a whole missing appendage is quite difficult. However, no matter the weather, I would wear long-sleeve shirts and sweatshirts every day in middle school to cover the appearance of my arm because I felt that this lessened the stares of my peers. My biggest insecurity was always physical, a beacon for attention when I only wanted to hide. When people imagine themselves in situations like my own where part of their body has changed, they think their life would be altered in a big way. They think of their favorite physical activities being disrupted as well as shifting the way they do everyday tasks. This mentality brings many confusing questions such as, are you able to ski or can you drive? And my favorite, are you naturally left-handed or right-handed? This last question, although it is one of the most commonly asked, always catches me off guard because you see, I was only born with one option. I've had to learn and develop my own way of doing things independently. From painting the fingernails on my left hand to scaling natural rock walls one foothold at a time, I've taught myself to do it all. My ways may seem more challenging to others, but that is only because normal is relative. I recognize that my normal is different from others, and with that comes their curiosity, presenting itself in the form of innocent questions which no longer irritate me. I have not found a single limiting aspect of my physical abilities. The only prohibition I see is the way others display a lack of expectation for me. However, this only pushes me further to be self-driven and independent in every aspect of my life. I've grown from that long-sleeve-wearing little girl to a confident, proud, and ambitious young woman. I will admit I have a disability, but I will not submit to being recognized as disabled. I am Kylie Orff. I was born like that. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Kylie Kylie is one of my students in the Tomorrow's Voices program, a night class that takes place at Roaring Fork High School with teachers from the Colorado Rocky Mountain School and the Aspen Center for Environmental Studies. We predominantly study geopolitics and environmental issues, but we also investigate how each student's identity can shape their opinion on a topic. I've only known Kylie since last September, but reading her essay for the first time was pretty shocking to me. I just hadn't really pictured her as being anything but comfortable with herself. I particularly remember one class where the two of us spoke about her physical difference and she laughed about the mistakes people often make. Hearing that she only began having these conversations in the past year or so means her journey through this radical and difficult path to self-acceptance was done at quite a steep curve. Kylie was kind enough to call into the station and speak a little more about her essay and her experience sharing her story. So what prompted you to write this piece? Did something inspire you to open up?
Well, so this piece is about a big part of who I am, which is my major physical difference, right? And that's something that everybody's able to see about me. Like the first thing a lot of people see, and that has a really big impression on a lot of people. So going throughout life this way has affected me in a big way. Meaning that this has become like a major part of my identity, even though it's not limiting in any aspect, it really affects the way other people see me. So I've always avoided talking about it. I've always, as I said in my essay, I never wanted to answer questions or anything or open up about it. And as a senior in high school, I thought, you know, this is the time I want to start talking about it. I want to start just making myself feel more comfortable with the subject as it's a major part of who I am, and just be able to make other people feel comfortable talking about it as well. And I've just been doing little things to push myself outside of my comfort zone, talking about it more and more, starting out with talking about it with my mom, my friends, and then I wrote this piece and shared it with some people I trusted a bit more, just to get my story out there in this way and like open up the conversation for myself to feel more comfortable talking about this.
Now, you say physical difference rather than physical disability sometimes. Would you care to explain that a little bit?
So when you hear the word disability, it obviously has a negative connotation to it, which people are trying to change every day, and I really admire that. I guess when I think of disability, I think you're limited. You have a bit more of a challenge of doing something, and I've never felt that way about myself in my situation. I say more of a difference because it is a difference from the outside of how people see me, and it is a difference in the way that I do things, but it has never limited me in any aspect. And I think that is where I like to switch the words out there. And it makes me feel a lot more comfortable with this about myself. That it's just the difference, because we all have differences. And I think that's something everybody can relate to. And maybe a lot less people can relate to having a difference as big as a whole limb reduction. But we all have differences, which makes it a lot more normalized.
What does it feel like to share your story now?
To share my story now still feels very nerve-wracking, still makes me a bit uncomfortable, but I still try to do things whenever I can to talk more about it, and just trying to share my story more and be more open about how this has impacted me, how it makes me feel, so people can understand, because I hid it for a long time, and I never wanted to talk about it because I felt like it would make people see my difference more than they already did. But I now realize that was a misconception and it should be talked about. I think there's value in my story, a very vulnerable side of myself. And so it is very hard to talk about and share with people and share with the public. But I think being vulnerable is also something that can be valued a lot by other people, even if they're not able to relate in my specific way. They're still able to relate in other ways with their own insecurities, their own vulnerabilities. It just opens up a conversation for more people. And I think that can bring the community together more and make people more tolerant of differences, which is really all I aim to do.
You're not bothered by people's silly questions anymore. And what do you think was the moment that you started to see it more as silly than as disturbing?
I think a major turning point I had was this conversation with my cousin, actually. Somehow we got into the conversation about how people see me and the questions people ask. And we just started laughing really hard about it. Like, if I'm naturally left-handed or right-handed, can I drive and all this stuff? And we were just like, just trying to brainstorm like where these questions come from. Cause we just see them like, you know, really silly. And just being able to like laugh about it with my close friends and family is where a turning point kind of hit. So it makes me feel not as bothered when people ask these questions, and I can just laugh about it later, rather than get like really upset and really embarrassed. And honestly, I still do feel a bit embarrassed when people ask these questions, but as they come more and more, I do feel more comfortable with answering them. I still just answer them and move on. And I don't dwell on them like I did before.
If you could just be completely raw, what would you tell people who ask you insensitive questions or say insensitive things?
Yeah. So I guess when people used to stare at me, or people still do, but I used to react in a totally different way. I think I would make faces because it was just really upsetting to me. But now when people stare at me, I just try to like smile, maybe even wave or something. But if I wasn't thinking about how to handle it properly or politely, I would probably say stuff like, take a picture, it'll last longer. I've always thought about saying that. I've never been comfortable enough to do that. That's just not really me to say. But I do think about that one a lot. Or usually when people stare at me and I look at them, they'll look away, right? But sometimes there's just these people that continue to stare, even after I'm like looking at them, I clearly see them staring. And I think I would want to like say something to those people like, hey, like, didn't your mom ever tell you it's not polite to stare? Or stuff like that. Yeah, I just try to handle it in the best way that I can because, you know, like, maybe they haven't seen a lot of people's physical differences. And so if I'm the one, I do need to stay polite so they don't see, like, I'm kind of, like, representing a lot of people with physical differences if nobody's, like, seen them very often. So I just like try to think of that and just like be polite and think about how they would be perceiving it, I guess.
You had discussed feeling responsible for representing all people with physical differences. Does that feel more like a burden or an opportunity for you?
I would say it feels more like an opportunity because my experiences are very unique. Sarah Herron has been a big inspiration to me because she's an activist that uses her physical differences to empower people in many ways. She is big in the body positivity movement, and I hope as I grow, I'm able to continuously build my confidence to be as open and vulnerable to inspire other people in a positive way to the extent that she does.
Do you ever find it difficult when people assume that your answers to these questions are consistent for all people with physical differences?
I mean, I think it's definitely wrong of people to assume that. I don't think that my answer really conveys everybody's beliefs or everybody's experiences with physical differences. You know, everybody was raised differently and has different opinions and beliefs. So I think it's important to remember that everybody's just their own unique individual self, and you can never really stereotype or classify them into a box fitting other people's beliefs. That being said, I have not met many people with physical differences like myself, and I would like to have the discussion with these people about how they feel about their experiences to be able to get a bigger picture about how the community feels as a whole. I have only met about 3 people in my whole life that have shared the same physical difference as myself, and I've never really gotten to sit down and talk to them about their experiences or how they feel about their differences. And I've always wanted to do that, so hopefully in the future I'm able to connect with more people that share these differences like myself, to be able to connect on that level. I think as I become older and I'm able to explore more places and experience living in different communities like cities rather than small mountain towns, maybe I will find more diversity like that.
What are some of your favorite hobbies and activities when you're not in school, both physical and otherwise?
I love hiking and doing yoga and paddleboarding, rafting, rock climbing, and I'm really blessed to live in a place so beautiful like the Roaring Fork Valley where I can do all these things often. What I'm most excited to do as the weather gets warmer is start going paddleboarding again.
Hiking, paddleboarding, rock climbing, how did you get into those things?
I've always just had a passion for being in the outdoors. My family is very active, and I love to go on hikes with my mom and love to explore different spots where we can go on hikes. I think I'm just super drawn to nature and being able to base my physical activities around what the world has to offer, to take advantage of my surroundings and just be able to live a conscientious life just really in the moment.
So can you describe a time when someone doubted your physical abilities and you proved them wrong?
I'll actually talk about a time that I myself doubted my physical abilities and I proved myself wrong. So I mentioned before that I love to go rock climbing in sophomore year of high school. I was enrolled in a class called Outdoor Leadership. It's an excellent program that exposes students to expeditions, leadership challenges, and risk management scenarios. I went on several backpacking trips, snowshoeing excursions, and we even designed our own trip. When I heard we'd be going on a trip to Redstone to go rock climbing with this class, I was super nervous. I thought there would be no way that I would be able to do that, and I confronted my teacher, Kelsey Kirkwood, about it. She was super encouraging and told me that I would be able to do it and that it was all leg strength anyways. Despite her encouragement, I was still super nervous about it. When it came time I tried it and I actually did really well. I even made it up much further than some of my fellow two-handed classmates did. This was a really empowering experience, and I'm really grateful to Kelsey Kirkwood for believing in me and pushing me to find new limits.
So when Kelsey brought you out there, was she aware of techniques that she was able to teach you about having one hand when climbing, or was it something that you all kind of just experimented with together?
I can't say that she gave me too many techniques. It was really just about getting up on the wall and finding my own ways to do it, as I do everything, just teaching myself new strategies, new techniques that may be different than what the average person may be used to. So it was really just finding my own groove while on the wall. So I could never have prepared myself to do that beforehand. And it was really just a on-site learning experience that I had to adapt to. And it was really fun to be able to learn.
For people who are going through a similar experience, do you have any advice for them that you want to leave them with?
I think it's hard, but I think you need to sort of put your insecurities on the table. That has made me, that's a very hard thing to do, but that's made me feel a lot more comfortable with myself and my insecurities. It's when I just put it all out there and see that people are really loving and accepting of who I am. There's always going to be those people that are not as loving or accepting or just more judgmental. But most people, especially in this valley, I'm very privileged to live in the Roaring Fork Valley, where just people are very loving and accepting of all differences of all types. So I think the more you can talk about it, the more you can normalize it. I think it takes a lot of the insecurity away from whatever you're going through, just to try to normalize it more.
Has anyone ever approached you and asked you questions about your arm in a really respectful way? And where you walked away and you were like, oh, I feel like that person came to me honestly and it wasn't silly, it wasn't rude. And how did that go, if there was a time?
I think when people ask me questions that make me feel just more respected, I feel a lot better about it. Maybe they just come up in a really calm and centered approach with their questions. They don't stare at me. They're looking at my eyes. They just don't make me feel like it's anything strange or unusual. Those are the best kinds of questions if someone's just meeting me. But I also really enjoy when people have taken the time, they've gotten to know me a lot more, and then we've like developed a little bit of a relationship where we just both feel a lot more comfortable with each other and they know me as a person. And then they're able to ask like, hey, were you born this way or did anything happen? Those are the kinds that I most value after I already have a connection with someone and they're still curious. Then there's no rude side to it at all, or just very abrupt, like unusualness to it when someone just comes in, ask me questions very abruptly where I'm totally unsuspecting and caught off guard by it. When you take that aspect away, like the questions feel a lot more respectful towards me and I'm a lot more comfortable answering them.
You spoke to me a few weeks ago about a trip that you were interested in going on. And I'd love for you to just tell me a little bit about that organization, what kinds of services they're offering.
So a few months ago, I was approached by this woman named Sarah Heron, who lives in the valley here, and actually in Carbondale. And she explained to me that she has this organization called SheLift, where she takes women with all kinds of physical differences on these retreats to just crazy places. Like, I've seen on their website, they're going to Machu Picchu, and then they're going to like Moab, and they do all these kinds of physical activities like rock climbing, canoeing, stand-up paddleboarding. And it really just like brings together a community of women with physical differences so they could see they're not as alone as sometimes they feel. They're able to connect with their physical differences in a much stronger way because, honestly, like, I don't know too many people who have the same kind of difference that I do. I've met, I think, 3 people in my life that are maybe missing a portion of their right or left arm like I am. They're able to bring together these girls that are able to connect on the experiences they've had and have these experiences that nobody else can relate to. Sarah is able to bring them together and see that they can do a lot more than they thought with these activities. And it just seems like something really special.
My name is Hallie Zander, and this has been a collaboration between the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program and KDNK. Special thanks to Kylie for taking the big step of sharing her story with all of us here in the Roaring Fork Valley.